Welcome to the Round 2 Supercoach Coach Podcast. I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey.
G'day, everyone.
It's been an interesting round 2, Mark, but I think the biggest thing to note is it appears we have a new partner on our hands because Supercoach is taking up a significant amount of time in 2013, especially in the early rounds.
It certainly is, mate. I know a lot of people that were at work or doing something else that they couldn't get away from that got pretty severely punished yesterday from not being able to make some trades and get rid of Karnezis or put him on the bench or Stevens to the bench. And so I think it's going to be like that all season. Like, you're going to have some big players like Beams laid out last week. As much as you'd like to go away after the first few weeks, and it might become a bit less important once we don't have so many rookies on the ground. I think, yeah, we do have a new partner, and our current partners are not going to be so happy about that situation.
Yeah.
Luckily, my wife loves a Supercoach.
So that's good for you, Mark, but for the rest of the coaches out there, it's going to be a slog for the first few rounds, particularly when we still have to deal with identifying which of our rookies are subs and which are not. That's the biggest headache at the moment, but hopefully in another 6 to 8 rounds time, when we've upgraded a few more of our players, things will get a little bit easier on us. But anyway, this show is going to be a round review, Mark. So why don't we kick things off with telling our listeners exactly how we scored on the weekend. Mark, do you want to kick us off?
Sure, mate. I scored 23-23 this week, which is about 100 more than last week. And I think that this week's probably a lower scoring week being around in my league. So I was just patient all week. I tried to keep my head down and I thought things will turn around this week. I've got a lot of potential in my team, and that's basically what happened. So yeah, pretty happy with that score, and it'll be really interesting to see the rankings when they come out later tonight.
And I take it you didn't trade, Mark.
I did 0 trades this week, but I will definitely be doing 2 this week and maybe 1 or 2 the week after.
Okay, well, Mark, I actually double traded this week. So I thought go aggressive, because we got 30 trades. Well, hell not. So when Karnezis was named the sub, I pulled a double trade, and that was going Franklin to Cruiser and Karnezis to Monfries. So Cruiser scored 109 and Monfries scored 102. So I was okay this week. But to be honest, I was hoping Need would do a little bit worse, because a big point was, you know, an extra week of having Monfries instead of Need. And I thought that would, you know, lead to at least about 50 points of a 200 point that you hope to get out of a trade or something similar. But Need actually scored 86, so I didn't get too much of an advantage from that. But I think the main reason I actually pulled the trigger, Mark, was most of the preseason I thought Franklin was overpriced, and then he scored a 60, and I thought Cruiser looks like a gun, and Rowe came into the team instead of Warnock this week, so I guess,
yeah, that was a big one, Matt.
Yeah, so it was pretty much just going with what I thought all preseason and pulling that trigger. Of course, everybody,
I think, knows. You should have just followed your own advice from the preseason Supercoach Coach podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have gone back and had a listen before you picked your team.
I'm a couple down, and I did go Cruiser to Franklin as my last-minute trade before lockout, so I guess it goes to show, you know, stick with your gut. Don't make those last-minute panic trades. So I think I made a bit of a mistake there, but anyway, it worked out
damn,
okay.
I wish I could have my last one back, the danger to Watson to danger at the last minute.
Yeah, so yeah. That's been like, what, 100 points already in the first couple of weeks, but we all know in about 21 rounds time, the difference between them will be like maybe 5 points per game, and that'll be 110 points over 22 rounds. So it seems like a lot now, but I'm sure it'll even out. So keep your chin up, Mark. I scored 23.77, so I did beat you again. Pretty good score. Yeah, go me. Pretty happy with it, and I'm expecting to go up a bit after scoring 2300 last week as well. So fingers crossed for a good ranking next time you guys hear from us.
Yeah, I think I did better in the other comps this week, though. So I might just focus on them, like you and your dream team skills.
Yeah, I'm really liking dream team and Sportle now that my teams are doing well, and I don't have to deal with rolling lockout over there. So I've actually been paying a little bit more attention to those teams in the last week. Shall we go through and do a quick heroes and villains, Mark?
My first hero is Jager Homira and the rolling lockout for this, because I honestly had Stevens on the field, and then Stevens was a sub. I had Homira on the bench, but then rolling lockout came, put Stevens on the bench. He's 30, can stay there, and Omira's 120 comes onto the ground. Yes.
Yeah, I had 4 rookies on grounds. I already had Homira on the field, but he certainly performed. And looking at Homira and then looking at Crouch's 85, you'd be thinking that Crouch is going to make his way into a lot of teams in the recent weeks, because he looks like he's going to be one of the better scoring rookies when he actually gets on park too.
Yeah, it's just going to be hard to squeeze him in because I didn't necessarily make rookie mistake like in the midfield. So it's going to be hard to find a way to actually trade someone out to get him. Next hero was, you're going to like this one, Marcus, Jimmy Bartel, a match-winning goal after or on the siren. Like,
Jimmy!
That's just insane. He had a great first quarter, then went really quiet and scored about 50 points just for kicking the winning goal. So, yeah, that's definitely a hero move.
Last week was fretting a bit because we picked Bartel over the chapstick. But, yeah, Jimmy did us
Who
proud.
Did well again as well.
Yeah, he scored Chappie's 121. Still so, if he can actually stay fit this season, it might turn out to be a pretty poor move by most of the community. I think Chapman has actually quite a low selection percentage, but not selecting him. And I think if he had made more of the NAB Cup rounds, that he probably would have been locked away. So it maybe looked a correction trade for some people if they have an opportunity to bring him in, because he's certainly looking the goods. He's moving like he was moving in 2010, 2009. So I don't see anything wrong with his selection.
Another similar one, I think, is Cyril Rioli. And looking back, I probably should have picked one of those guys, and even though they didn't have great NAB Cup sort of pre-seasons, because if they get injured, you've got 30 trades and you can get rid of them, and they have such high ceilings. So both of them started on fire.
Goods has got to be a hero as well, but how can you be tagged? I think reportedly tagged in his second game of AFL footy. He was absolutely brilliant. I think we've got to give props to the...
He missed the target. Like, I think his kicking efficiency was like 30% or something. Like, he missed the target almost every time and still scored so well. So that, I'm not quite sure how that happened watching the game.
Intercept marks tend to rack up the points, I guess. And I think we've got to give props to those Fremantle defenders. Pittard, 91. Stevenson, 93. And Campbell Heath, 85. I had Heath and Brown on my bench scoring 85 and 97. So if anyone started four rookies in the back line this year, boom. That would have been really risky, but it would have panned out pretty well over the first two rounds. I think, got to say, Luke Brown's a hero as well, scoring 97 after a couple of weeks ago, looking like he might be out injured for a little while. And I think I said it a couple of weeks ago, but you can see why now that they traded both, I think, 10th and a compo pick that was going to be in the first round as well for Brown and Crouch. So he's certainly a quality defensive player, and he can rack up the Supercoach scores as well. He's looking
so
like
there's one good. More. There's one more obvious hero that we have to talk about. My man Dyson, Dyson Heppel. People were doubting him last week after his 76, even though he had a great first quarter, and it was only against Melbourne, but he did post his highest score ever, 36 touches. Dyson never kicks a goal, and he kicked two last quarter goals. It was a pretty poor effort for Melbourne overall, but Dyson just showed his quality and potential, and to post so big in a game like that is really great at this time of year.
And it was good to see too, Mark. It wasn't like he came in during the third and fourth quarters and just got in on the scoring. He actually was leading from the front, right from the first quarter. He was leading the possessions and the scoring. So very excited about him. Like we said, he looked good last week, but just didn't understand why he couldn't get the points on board Supercoach-wise. It was good to see he didn't register the same number of clangers, and he just racked up the disposal. So very happy with him. The last hero to go over for mine, Mark, which you don't have, which makes him an extra hero, extra special hero for mine, Josh J. Kennedy, 103. Did not have a touch in the first quarter. Kicks five in the next three to finish with 103 Supercoach points. Only 11 possessions, Mark, but six marks, five tackles, saw him finish with the ton. So I'm very happy with him. I didn't think when I selected him a couple of weeks ago that he'd turn out quite as well in the first couple of weeks. So very happy, and they have a lot easier run coming up. I think they've got Melbourne, Western Bulldogs, Carlton, and one other. But their draw's a bit easier in the next four, and there's a fair chance that they might win all four. So I'm hoping Kennedy kicks on in the next 4 weeks, and I suspect that a lot of people will be bringing him in for Karnesis this coming week, so maybe he won't be quite a POD anymore.
Yeah, true. I got to say, I was a lot happier at quarter time with his score than I was at the end of the game. A villain. Now, I've probably got one main villain, and I was at the game on Saturday night, and he was atrocious. I don't know what's going on with Jack Watts. I feel sorry for the kid, because he's got so, like, the whole world looking at him, and, you know, he's probably trying his best, but he didn't know where to run. When he did get it, he was just out of position, didn't have time, missed targets, he was just completely beaten on the weekend. It's kind of weird because he scored so well in that last NAB game against the Suns, but seems to be like really badly out of form. So might have just had a really bad couple of weeks, and I honestly believe that he'll bounce back this year, but he won't be doing so in my team.
No, he's not one to lead from the front. So if Melbourne aren't doing well, or even aren't playing football that even passes as AFL football, then you can pretty much forget about Watt's doing anything well super coach wise. So yeah, I suspect he'll be the biggest out target. I'd be surprised if any serious coach still has him after this round. Villain wise, I don't really have anyone, Mark. My lowest scoring non-rookie player was Bryce Gibbs with 86, so I guess I'm shaking my fist at Kane Mitchell for being the sub twice, but that's not really his fault.
Yeah, I'm in a pretty similar situation to that, but you probably do have to mention Jack Viney and Ollie Wines. They would have been big targets for people recruiting them in, and didn't really perform this week with only 49 and 51. Obviously, after their massive efforts in round one, you can forgive them for not being able to back up as rookies, but they probably become villains a little bit, and possibly number one villain of the week, or especially for all the other comps that don't have these rolling lockouts, and for people that miss the rolling lockout, would be Patrick Karnezis and being the sub. I wasn't too keen on picking him because I was trying to avoid the mid prices in general. And then he was exceptional in that NAB grand final and just like looked irresistible, and you had to pick him. And then one game in and he becomes a sub after scoring 60 and scores 8. Basically, it's going to be really hard to make money out of him now, especially in the shorter term. So I think a lot of people will trade him. I don't think he's an absolute must trade if he's still selected this week, but he's definitely in a tricky spot.
Yeah, and I'm a bit glad, Mark, I didn't get carried away with my predictions of Brisbane breaking into the top 8 or anything, because it certainly looks like they won't be able to do that quite yet this season. So a bit disappointing, but I think things would have turned out a lot differently if they managed to beat Western Bulldogs last round, because he'd likely still be playing this round, and who knows just what he'd be scoring. But yeah, it didn't quite work out, that selection. Now we're going to go through the rest of the games, Mark, and just pick through a few players that we want to talk about.
First game is St Kilda Richmond. Player that stands out to me as a Supercoach selection is Ben McAvoy. Obviously, he loved Tom Hickey not being there. Absolutely smashed at 130. I think he really likes the responsibility of being the sole ruck. So yeah, he was very impressive, and you'd be happy if you had him in your team at the moment, I think.
Yeah, who called that? Thank you very much. Jack Rewalt, it was good to see you kick 7 goals, Mark, with 138, but just 2 up and down. Last week didn't kick any goals. This week kicked 7, and that's why we don't pick the key position forwards. But he did show a lot. He'd be someone that you're looking at if he drops in price as he has in previous seasons. I think Martin absolutely killed in the first half, but only ended on 92. Just really bad fade out. And the real question is, will he be able to work on improve his tank over the next few rounds?
How can he improve his tank, like, at this point of the season, you think? Like, he was exactly like this last year, just kill it in first halves and then just completely go out of the game. So it was very disappointing to see that from Martin. And if we didn't have bigger issues, he would be on the edge anyway, even though he's just managed to pull these decent scores in the end.
What Hardwick said is that games tend to slow down, and it's true. The first couple of games does tend to be quite up-tempo, and as the footy season goes on, it slows down a little bit. So there's opportunity there, but owners of Martin, and there's a lot of us out there, be seriously worried, and he'd be one of the guys that's up for a correction trade this week if I can find a suitable replacement. So I'll be thinking about that.
Well done to Ricky Pettard in his first game for Richmond. He looks pretty good off halfback, scored 75, and if anyone stuck with him at 240,000, he could turn out to be an okay pick.
To the next game, Swans versus Suns, Mark. The Swans won comfortably in the end, but it was a bit closer than the final score actually suggests. A lot of people had Ablett as their vice captain or captain. He only pulled out 99, so a lot of people went a different way with the double chance that we got. It was good to see Amira score 120, as you mentioned before, Mark. And Gold Coast look actually a much more competitive outfit this year than last, and really makes you quite worried for what they're going to become in a few years' time.
Yeah, but you still think that GWS are going to end up way ahead of them, but they have shown that they're going to have a pretty good midfield in the end. David Swallow's starting to find a little bit of form, and that's really good to see. They're tagging Bernal, but I think Swallow's going to be just as good a player at least. So Charlie Dixon, as their second ruck, is absolutely smashing it, keeping Gorringe out of the side. For Sydney, really dominated again. Kieran Jack just loves playing those lower sides. Kennedy was a little bit down. I was hoping as someone that doesn't have him, he might be a bit further down than that. Mumford just 72 was a little bit down as well.
He's really improved a lot, Mike Pike. He's had 35 hit outs. Mumford only had the 21. Pike, he kicked a couple of goals and he kicked a couple last round as well, and he scored 121. So not sure if Pike is quite a fantasy relevant option, because I'm not sure how consistent he can keep it up, but who knows, he might be quite similar to Roughhead last season in the fact that he's just going to have enough spread between his time in the ruck and in the forward line, and he performs competently enough in both so that you will see a decent score every round. So remains to be seen just how well Pikey will continue to score, and he might not be worth just the punt, but Mumford is a serious worry.
Is Will Minson we'll move on to the next game. Is Will Minson a realistic Supercoach option this year after, I think, 120 and 143 in the first 2 weeks?
It certainly seems like it from the first couple of games, but they did play last week. Brisbane, who didn't have Leuenberger playing, had Longo instead. And this week, Fremantle, you know, they lost Sandilands. So he is going up against Griffin, who, even though is a respectable ruckman, hasn't played nearly as many AFL games as a lot of ruckmen going around. So I don't think Will Minson would beat another AFL ruckman in hitouts, 48 to 23 in that many games. So could be worth the punt, but I think there's other ruckmen that look actually pretty decent around that price range, Griffin being one of them, even though he did lose out to Minson.
Now, you have Kobe Stevens, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Would you be looking to move him on or keep him? Or he got subbed off in the first game and subbed on in the second game. He did pick up 12 touches or something when he came on, but is he on your chopping block?
No, I think if he's not named or if he's sub again this week, then you'd certainly be looking at moving him on immediately because of his high price tag. But I think he's sort of a slower burner that I'm just going to keep going. Of course, you can't trade all your rookies out at the same time. Kobe Stevens was on track for an 80 in the first round before going down injured. Second game named as a sub. It's unfortunate, but you can understand considering the amount of rookie depth that they do have, or young talent that they do have in the midfield. And who knows, it might be because he didn't quite pull up 100% after the hammy last week. So I'm not still happy with the amount that he produced in a short period of time. Like you said, 13 disposals. So I'm more than happy to hold on to him and see how he goes. And I'm assuming you're the same, because he didn't quite come up in your villains rant.
No, he didn't, did he? Yeah, I think about the exactly same as that. From the Freo side, it was great to see Nate Fyfe get off the hook. I kind of thought that this week the Bulldogs went with two taggers pretty much, and Fyfe didn't get the tagging job, even though someone from West Coast went to him in round one. And I think that Freo have enough midfielders that I don't think Fyfe will get tagged every week. It was really great in his first half. Mundy did cop the lower tag and was held to just 84. Decent result for Mundy being tagged that hard by Lower, who does seem in good tagging form.
Subin would have been a bit disappointing, 62 after 120 last week, but he's only priced at 250, so he is a mid-pricer attached with that risk. I think a lot of people
still disappointing.
A lot of people would be upset, though, with the Hill-Pierce combo only generated 70 and 71 between the two of them, so it would be a bit disappointing for those people thinking that one of them would get off the chain every week. That might not necessarily be the case, eh?
So, Brisbane versus Adelaide, Pierce Hanley, I think he had an 80-odd in the first week, and I even heard of some people trading him out. So, and then he went and smashed 160 against Adelaide, which is just insane. Rocky was very quiet early, posted 109, very happy with that after a few goals. And Matty Leuenberger in his first game back, 101. You got to be pretty stoked with that if you did hold the faith with him. I think that a lot of people will be looking to bring him in now. I'm probably expecting a bit of a lower performance this week as he tries to back up after the first game that he's played in a long time. I think a lot of players struggle with that. But then you've got to think that Louis is in for a decent season if he can post 101 in his first game back, and against Jacobs as well.
You do worry, you know, you do hear as the ruckman move throughout the year that they do tend to struggle with the workload of being a number one ruck. And with his only backup being Martin, who will probably only ruck 15-20% game time, if that, that's a lot of pressure on him to run out a full season off a limited preseason and off that Achilles injury. So he might tail off toward the end, but certainly an exceptional start, and something I didn't expect that early on, especially against Sam Jacobs. He was close to Australian ruckman, so that's nothing to sneeze at. Dangerfield was good to see with 107, but main thing was he won Adelaide that game, really. So I was hoping for a little bit of a bigger score, but it was good to see him play some excellent football again.
I think he was like 80, 10 minutes into the second quarter, though. I was really disappointed with that final score by Dangerfield after such a hot start to the game. He just went missing for two quarters. Crouch had a good game. Luke Brown, as you mentioned. Jacobs was solid again. Thompson smashed it. And Daniel Rich with 77. He's had two poor games in a row. I think a lot of our listeners will have him in their teams. Would you be keeping him?
No, I think I'd be trading him out. I think if you were picking him on a breakout season, you expect him to be able to break the tags because that's the only reason you pick him, and you succumb twice in a row. So Brisbane don't seem to be able to support him like they should. So he's out for mine.
Next game, Essendon versus Melbourne under 10s. Seven Bombers scored over 120. It was great to see Goddard and Heppel Watson smashing it. Bell James was huge. Kicked four goals. Not going to be able to do that every week. I've got Ryder, as do a lot of our listeners. He was, to be honest, really disappointing. And if he wasn't playing such a terrible team, he would have got less than 88. Really didn't get as much of the ball and spent plenty of time in the ruck as well. And just like Bell Chambers, there was plenty of chances he had to take those forward marks, but he got spoiled every time, right? And Bell Chambers managed to hold on.
Would you be looking at a correction trade? Because Bell Chambers scored 144, had more hit outs, had, I think, same amount of possessions and kicked three more goals. So it'd be a bit of a worry. We talked about Bell Chambers maybe taking it away from Ryder a bit. Do you see that continuing, or do you think Ryder will pull out the stop soon?
I might potentially look at trading if I didn't have other issues to fix. I do like the look of Cruiser, but I think Paddy could probably match Cruiser from here still. You just don't get the value out of it. And I think once he gets under the dome, he's still going to have some big games. I'm still going to back Paddy in from here.
Didn't think Zaharakis would have such a good start after such a limited preseason, but
he's a superstar, man.
And again, 103 this week. So
one of our best and fairest in his third season. This guy is really, really good.
Joe, 166, absolutely killing it. And Melbourne, there's no even point going through it. I think Turlick's probably the one person that we have to mention. Playing his first game, scored 56, 12 disposals.
The ball was down there a lot.
Yeah. Might get a game again next week. You know, who the hell knows with Melbourne?
Jeremy Howe was the only one that I was really impressed with from Melbourne.
I'm sick of talking about them, to be honest, Mark. I mean, they get way too much coverage for the effort that they put in.
Let's move on then, mate. Port Adelaide, geez. You've already mentioned the Port Adelaide rookies, so just fantastic, the defensive rookies. But Jake Need as well, 86. He was on 28, I think, at sort of into the third quarter. So absolutely stoked to get 86 on the field for this week.
He's like a Matera, don't you reckon? The second coming of Matera. Not quite as good, but seems to play a similar style and there was similar weight in their first year.
Yeah, quite possibly. I'm not sure what his fitness is like and whether, because he was reportedly going to be this big sub candidate, but he seemed to run that game out pretty well. So if he can sort of just stay on the field and pull out 50 or 60 every week, then I'd be really happy with that. Monfries did really well, 102.
Yeah.
Second time over 100 in a row.
Starting in a lot of center bounces, Mark, and also staying on the outside a lot. He doesn't go in for the clearances, just stays on the outside, waits for the ball to come out, and delivers it inside 50. So 18 touches, didn't kick a goal, but still managed 102, was good from him.
Hartley Monfries or Kennedy?
Oh, Kennedy for sure, I think. I watched Monfries and it was a bit concerning because as much as he is around the ball, he doesn't get, he only got the ball 18 times. And there are not many times where you're going to score a Supercoach ton if you don't kick any goals and you have 18 touches on me. He had eight tackles, which was great, but I think Kennedy's in for an excellent season. They lost again this week and he kicked five, so definitely get on him.
Hamish Hartlett, 38. Jeez, I know Kefa, one of our good friends, traded Yaron to Hartlett this week and made a fair bit of sacrifice to get him in, and he would have been very disappointed with that.
But gee, it would have been good barracking for that goal. Did you see the goal he kicked, Mark?
No, I was at the Melbourne Essendon game, man.
Jeez, would have been close to goal of the year, on the run with pressure on him, puts it on his boot and dribbles it, just clears it, that went to score with you and it made it through. So it was an excellent goal for him, but certainly wouldn't have expected his output to be that diminished by a tag, especially in his fifth, sixth year or whatever we're picking him in. So his owners would be disappointed, but and especially because he's not really playing halfback, he's playing midfield, Mark. So very disappointing from that perspective.
GWS, Lachie Whitfield, 100. Some people had faith with him and would have actually picked him, so good on him. There's not a whole lot of fantasy relevance from GWS at the moment. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see once they start blooding some more rookies.
he was left completely free on the outside, and that's why he got 9 marks and 20 disposals. So certainly great from him in his first game, but not sure how many times he'll be able to do that.
Going on to the Geelong North game for
Woo!
this afternoon. Let me get this straight though. Do you have Joel Selwood in your team?
No, I don't.
That would suck, dude, being a Geelong supporter after the way he's just brought them home the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he has. And I picked him a couple of seasons ago, and I was like so confident he'd break out to an ultra elite. And then the main reason for not picking him is just not sure if he can replicate the sort of ultra elite goal kicking that a lot of the best scorers in the Supercoach competition do, like Ablett and Pendlebury. But he's really stood up this year in terms of overhead marking, and has become more of a presence up forward. So I think you see that reflected a little bit more. Kicked the goal this week as well, and scored 140 of 26 disposals and 6, 8 tackles as well. Still
How's
can't beat our man Jimmy, which we already mentioned before. I just have to say his name again. 11 tackles, game-winning goal, 157 points. Gotta love him.
your man Travis Farco going?
Pretty bad, eh? 63, 15
He doesn't
disposals.
seem to have played that poorly. He just really doesn't get enough of the ball.
Yeah, pure and simple. Yeah, the thing is, he doesn't get much mark. If you get 15 disposals, but you get 5 marks as well, like your score's okay. When you have 15 disposals, but they're all like easy handball receives, you're so dependent on like your disposals being score assists or goal assists, or it's just way too much dependence on the actual disposals that he gets, because he's not a big possession winner. So if he doesn't kick goals and he still gets only 15 disposals, he's gonna struggle to score. That's why, I mean, I did say I wasn't too happy starting with him when I said he was in my team. He just fits structurally. So for those that have him, I think you'd still be okay with him average, scoring, 60 to 80 while he's in your team, and then just hoping that he has one big game scoring 140 and that'll be enough to shoot his price up a little bit. So I'm not sure if you're worried about a correction trade with him, but he hasn't panned out as well as some people would have hoped, certainly.
I don't think I remember that part of the conversation. I just remember you saying he was going to win the next 3 Brownlows and be better than Gary Ablett from the North Melbourne side of the game. Andrew Swallow was like 107 at three-quarter time, just posted 111. He looked really good. So I think he had a bit of hamstring or calf tightness today. His owners will be a bit disappointed with that final result. Goldstein, 105 again, didn't have much ruck competition, so hasn't really been tested before
No.
in order to see whether Curry will turn out better or not. But North are 0-2, which is not the sort of start that they were expecting, and it shows that they might actually struggle with the tough draw that they have this year.
And Geelong 2-0. Woo!
So are the Bombers, mate. Top of the ladder, the Bombers.
Premiership 2013, every alternate year, it's gonna happen. Watch out.
Now, West Coast Hawthorn, and Hawthorn, they didn't want to be 0-2 at all. They were excellent today against the West Coast over there. And Buddy got involved, kicking 5 with a couple of cheap late goals, which got him to 116. His owners would be fairly happy with that.
Great
Cyril was
Birchall.
great
He's a
early.
jet.
Yeah. Birchall was fantastic again. That's
Amazing goals from 50, 31 possessions. I'm surprised he only scored 126.
Luke Hodge, 103.
Yeah.
I
will he be
wish
an
I could have
option?
Luke Hodge. I just wish I could have him in my team. I remember the good old days where he was the first picked backman, and I loved watching Lukey Hodge and having him in my side. Rafed did a little bit better, 89. He was really hot in the first half and slowed down a fair bit. Bradley Hill for the rookies managed 71 again. Seems to have locked his spot into that side pretty well. They really like him at the Hawks. Prittis redeemed himself a little bit with 113. Coxie, 118, did pretty well. Josh Kennedy, your man, 103. Bo Waters posted another ton. Is he just going to do exactly what he did last year and post a ton every week? Shuey redeemed himself a bit, but I know a lot of people are going to own Scott Selwood, and just 74 after not doing so great last time. That's going to be a bit of a tricky spot for them.
Is he a trade-out, Mark?
I think he's a bit of an up-and-down player, so I think if you sort of backed him at the start, you'd probably just keep him because he's going to have the really big games as well, so you'd hate to trade him out, and then next week against Melbourne, he scores 250 or something. So yeah, especially seeing as they play Melbourne this week, you've probably got to keep all your West Coast players.
My worry is just that they were performed really well in Supercoach last year because they were a top four team, and it's certainly looking like they're going to miss. I mean, if you're 0-2, it's pretty hard to make the top four anyway. I mean, it's still early days, but just you can see how much not having Nick Matt and not having Daniel Kerr is affecting their football club. And
you really can.
You got to wonder, maybe with 30 trades, are you better just pulling the trigger on players that are struggling like that?
So I'm a little bit more aggressive on that front. I think you might have to consider a correction on those guys, but it certainly depends on what else you have to fix in your team. But if your team's flying, then I might consider trading one of those boys out because West Coast is a bit concerning this year. Now, last game of the round, Mark,
It was a
Collingwood
ripper.
Carlton. Yeah. I missed
It
it, Mark.
was.
I was taking a nap in between Geelong and West Coast Hawthorn, but.
If you were watching the game, you probably wouldn't have fallen asleep because it was really quite an entertaining game. You had Yaron and Garlett at one end kicking goals, and Jamie Elliott at the other. And yeah, it was quite entertaining. You had Sam Dwyer was definitely a standout today, rookie listed player. Just came in as sort of a late call up for round one, I think, and then just smashed them today. 110 points and mid forward eligibility. I sort of wish that he'd been clearer that he'd be Collingwood's best 22 in the preseason. It looks like he should at least be able to play for the next 3 or 4 weeks. I know Buckley really likes him, so he should make a decent amount of money by then. They do have players to come back like Thomas, so whether he can score every week will be a big issue. But yeah, he definitely looked the goods today. He had a lot of pace and really got his hands dirty.
So,
Swanee.
because I've already cleared my Kinesis trade and I'm free to trade again this week, Mark, do you think I should be looking at Stevens to Dwyer?
Oh, in the midfield, I think I'd take Crouch before Dwyer.
Okay, that's an important one to address. So, even though Dwyer's doing well, you're still back crouching after only a game.
Yeah, look, I would. I don't think it's really clear cut, though, because of the fact that he's forward mid eligible. That really does give you a lot of flexibility going forward with your trades. Like you might be able to trade Monfries up to a premium midfielder at some point if you bring Dwyer into your mids. So that does have to be taken into consideration, and it's not like a really easy call.
You know, Mark, we talk about every preseason, we like to do a bit of a prediction on how the ladder's going to stack up. And some people were thinking Carlton may shoot up this year with Mick Malthouse coaching them, but I think it's clear now that it takes a little bit of time for people to teams to pick up a game style, and it's going to take a bit of time to fill the holes that they have at Carlton before they become a serious premiership threat. So I think people will be fairly disappointed after the first 2 rounds if they're expecting great things from Carlton. They only had Garlett 131 and Cruiser 109 hitting the ton. So that means Mark Murphy, Bryce Gibbs, and Chris Judd all missed out on the ton. Now, if I told you that would be happening in round two in the preseason against Collingwood, even against Collingwood, I think most people would have their doubts. So they're certainly underperforming, especially Supercoach wise, early in the season.
Yeah, they really are. But there's a few teams out there doing that, like North Melbourne, West Coast. So they're not the only ones. And they do have a very tough first 5 or 6 weeks, Carlton. So that means that they might be too far behind to be making top four. But you'd think that they're still a pretty good side, and they're definitely going to make it tough for other teams to win. And look, they were in front at three quarter time today and could have easily won the game. Probably should have won the game with Jolly not on the field.
Okay, so that wraps out the round review, Mark, and we'll be back on Wednesday with another podcast giving you a bit more strategic advice on what to do for the round ahead, because we know it's the all-important time before the first price change where we got to do all those important correction trades. So it's a big show this coming week. If you haven't signed up already for $1,000 cash prize group, please do register at supercoachcoach.com.au and you'll be emailed a code to join our group. Remember, we're still giving out $100 a week for the best article, and we had great content come out in the last week. And as always, all the best in the upcoming round. We'll catch you in a few days.
Yeah, I can't wait for lockout, mate. I'm a little bit more excited this week after getting a good score.
Yeah, hopefully we both make the top 1,000 after this week, Mark.
I think I'll be happy with the top 10,000, mate.
Okay, top 1,000 for me, Mark. Keep your
Righto.
fingers crossed for me.
Yeah, totally. See you guys.
See ya.